I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Essa. In the headlines, Ghana and Canada sign agreement for the construction of additional 132 megawatt power generating plant in Takoradi.
An agreement for the construction of a 132 megawatts electricity generating plant under phase 3 of the Takoradi Power Project has been signed between government and the Canadian Commercial Corporation. The project follows the completion of phase 2, which will be inaugurated this July. The National Disaster Management Organization, NADMO, has taken delivery of disaster management equipment worth $8.5 million. The gesture is under a grant agreement between Ghana and Japan to help NADMO respond effectively to disaster situations. The Eastern Regional Police Command has banned the use of unregistered vehicles and motorbikes to and from Kwau before, during and after the Easter festivities. The Regional Police Commander DCOP Kwapena Dramna Yabua says this is to reduce road accidents which usually characterize the occasion. Senegalese popular musician Youssou N'Dour has been appointed Tourism and Culture Minister in the cabinet of new President Macky Sall. I beg your pardon, new President Macky Sall. The singer supported Mr. Sall during the country's elections early this year after being disqualified from running as a candidate. Youssou N'Dour is one of the 25 new appointees to the cabinet, headed by Prime Minister Abdou Mbaye.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social.
The news in detail. Government and the Canadian Commercial Corporation, CCC, have signed an agreement for the construction of a 132 megawatt electricity generating plant under the phase 3 of the Takoradi Power Project. The $213 million Canadian dollar project follows the completion of a 132 megawatt phase 2, which will be inaugurated this July. The chief executive of the CCC, Mark Whittingham, announced this when he paid a courtesy call on President John Evans Atta Mills at the Castle Lusu. He said 94% of Ghanaians engaged during the second phase will be retained.
About 3 years ago, we signed the contract for the T3 power generation station in Takoradi, and that will be completed this summer. We're signing the next phase, T3X as they're calling it, which is another 132 megawatt power station to add to the other 132 megawatts that will be there. And then it will become effective on both governments' approvals. Our government, there will be no issues, and I know here there will not be either because it is a very solid contract. The delivery is about a two-year construction period to add to the one that's already been built. Contract is $236 Canadian dollars for the basic, and then there's some options for a couple of other things, about $21 million on top of that. In the current contract, there are 600 people working there. Out of that, 94% of them are people from Ghana. That includes subcontractors. What our principle is, as part of the Canadian government working with Canadian industry, is to make sure that there's knowledge transfer, there's technology transfer, there's local benefits, there's corporate social responsibilities, care for the environment, care for the community, care for the people that are working in that area.
Chief Executive of Canadian Commercial Corporation, Mark Whittingham. President Mills asked Mr. Whittingham to explore other opportunities and encourage more Canadians to invest in those areas. He said government will continue to create favorable investment opportunities in the country. Ghana is exploring ways to achieve energy peace of mind in the face of power cuts and their consequent inconvenience to consumers. To this end, government has developed a national strategy to increase the use of renewable energy, particularly solar, by 10% by 2020. Deputy Minister of Energy Alhaji Inusaf Hussaini says though the use of renewable energy is not the solution to the erratic electricity supply, it is an alternative measure to reduce the load and complement hydro and thermal power. He was speaking at the launch of the first ever solar exhibition in Accra. Doreen Ampofo reports.
Ghana has over the years relied on hydroelectric power for the production of electricity. Electricity production from this source has not been reliable as the country has been experiencing frequent power cuts. The VRE, Electricity Company of Ghana, Gridco and other stakeholders have attributed the situation to numerous factors including the unavailability of gas from Nigeria and the breakdown of machines. Some frustrated power consumers hold the view that the recent power cuts is political. The Deputy Minister of Energy, Alhaji Inusaf Hussaini, debunked this notion.
Consumers have lost confidence in the ability of government and by extension ECG, VRA and Gridco to supply power. But these events came as isolated events. They were not planned. The challenges came as a result of two factors. One, the disruption of supply of gas to Ghana. So now as our power plant produces about 180 megawatts of power. So immediately we don't have gas, 280 megawatts of power is off. If you peak at 1,500 megawatts, any little disturbance in the system, you have to share it because you have to manage it. If not, your system will collapse. The breaking of the sky wire or the conductor in Akosombo discharged a lot of voltage into the system at Akosombo and brought the system to a halt. But the good thing I will tell Ghanaians is that when it stopped, it took the engineers and the technicians 3 hours to begin to restore life. That was not rational. The last one which occurred on the 21st of March occurred because we have a power exchange agreement with Republic of Cote d'Ivoire. When they don't have power, they also draw from us. So on that day, about 17 hours, two of their machines gave in and they lost power. They immediately activated the arrangement between us and drew 70 megawatts of power from Ghana. That decayed our power.
Alhaji Inusaf Hussaini said government is committed to solving this problem. That is why it has come up with a national solar policy. He said in line with this, government has upgraded the renewable energy unit at the Ministry of Energy to a directorate.
What we are doing as a government is working assiduously to ensure that we increase the generation capacity of this country. And I can tell you that by June, end of July, about 230 megawatts of power will be added to the national grid. We are going to add into the renewable generation mix. And we are hoping that by 2020, we're not saying that 2020 will add 10%. Even the 10% is very ambitious.
The technical director of the Energy Commission, Dr. Nida Kwasante, said the use of renewable energy is full of promise as it is available everywhere. It is free and has no environmental hazards. The two-day exhibition has brought together stakeholders.
Doreen Ampo for reporting. The Western Regional Minister, Paul Evans Edu, has, on behalf of the President, Professor John Evans Atamels, presented 46 motorcycles to the Prestia Huni Valley District Assembly for distribution to all the members. He also presented an ultra-modern fire tender to the District Command of the Ghana National Fire Service. The motorcycles are to enhance the work of the Assembly members and to facilitate the local government system, while the fire tender will improve the readiness of the fire service personnel to combat fire outbreaks and other emergencies. Mr. Evans Edu made the presentation after addressing the first session of the second meeting of the District Assembly at Bogoso, from where George Grant Youngson has filed this report.
The 46 motorcycles were received on behalf of the Assembly by the presiding member, David Agatiba, while the district commander of the Ghana National Fire Service, Peter Kodokwesin, received the fire tender for the fire service. Addressing the Assembly members, Mr. Evans Edu advised them to use their motorcycles judiciously and work hard to justify the trust reposed in them by the electorate. They should also obey all traffic laws, rules and regulations. Mr. Evans Edu therefore reminded the Assembly members to have the appropriate driving license, insurance cover, roadworthiness certificate and also wear protective helmets anytime they ride the motorcycles. turning to the district command of the fire service, he said he must aid to ask the personnel to always be on red alert to move swiftly to scenes of fire outbreaks and other emergencies such as accidents in order to protect life and property. He urged them to take good care of the facility to increase its lifespan. Mr. Evans Edu later visited some biometric registration centers at Bogoso and its environs to assess the state of the exercise. He expressed general satisfaction at the public response and appealed to all to ensure that it is successful. Addressing the assembly members earlier, the district chief executive, Robert Wisdom Kuju, said the fact that this year is an election year enjoins all residents of their district to have good neighborliness and peaceful temperament and disposition. He said they should take it as their individual and collective responsibility to ensure that the district continues to be peaceful before, during, and after the elections. Mr. Wisdom Kuju gave the assurance that the District Security Committee would act swiftly to avert anything that may threaten the peace. From Bogoso, George Brandt Nyangson, reporting for Radio Ghana.
The death and resurrection of Jesus is a joy to both Christians and non-Christians. However, in Ghana, people in the course of the festivities overindulge in their celebrations, often leading to fatalities, including road accidents. In his Easter message to Ghanaians, President Jonathan Zatamels cautioned against all forms of indiscipline which result in fatalities.
I wish each and every Ghanaian the best wishes and a happy Easter. However, let me caution that as we rejoice over the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as we celebrate the occasion, we must not overdo it. Easter is in many cases unfortunately associated with the accidents and carnage on our roads, where people, as a sign of their joy, would want to drink and drive. Every life is important, and I would want to appeal to all Ghanaians that while they can celebrate, let them be careful, because there's life, there's work after the celebration.
President Mills with his Easter message to Ghanaians. Meanwhile, the Eastern Regional Police Command has banned the use of unregistered vehicles and motorbikes to and from Kwewu before, during and after the Easter festivities. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the Regional Police Commander, DCOP Pabna Jamra Yeboa, said the security measures taken are to reduce the high crime and road accidents often associated with the celebration in the Kwewu area. He spoke to Sefeya.
During the Easter, especially at Kwewu, we have decided that no unregistered motorbike or unregistered vehicles should get to Kwewu area. Again, the DP vehicles and then DV vehicles should also not fly the area. Apart from that, our people are on the road throughout the festivity to make sure that the carnage on the road is reduced. We also intensify the day and night patrols, especially within the Kwewu area, because other foreigners will be coming there, and then we make sure that nothing untoward happens within that period. We have the snap checks also. We will mount a temporary barrier within the certain areas, and then we'll be searching vehicles to make sure that no weapon is sent to that area during the festivity.
Must it always come to the Easter festivities before you mount such comprehensive security checks or operations?
Normally we do it, but during Easter then we intensify it because we have more criminals coming to those areas, especially the Kwewu area. So we intensify, but it has been our normal duties to organize snap checks, troops, and then day and night patrols. But during such festivities then we intensify it.
Looking at the measures you've taken, it appears you're anticipating high crime to occur.
Yes, normally during the such festivities, crime wave increases. So in order to reduce it, in fact, we cannot eliminate it totally, but we will try as much as possible to reduce it. In an attempt to reduce it, we have to put more policemen and women on the road, put more policemen and women in the bucket areas, the lorry parks, to do the patrols.
What assurance or assurances are you giving to those who will be coming to the Eastern region, and to be specific, the Kwewu area, for this year's Easter?
I will pray that we exercise patience and make sure that we want to see all of them alive before, after, and then during the period of festivities.
Eastern Regional Police Commander DCOP Pabna Jamra Yeboah talking to Sefeya. The spokesperson for the chiefs of Akuse, George Amano, has appealed to the Electoral Commission to rescind its decision to suspend the 6 electoral areas in Akuse, Osudoku traditional area, from participating in the ongoing biometric registration. Speaking on our current affairs program Behind the News, Mr. Amano said the people in the area are tempted to register in other districts due to the suspension, and this may pose a problem in the upcoming elections.
Biometric registration exercise is going out throughout the country. All of a sudden, we saw a publication in the 24th March 2012 edition of the Democracy saying that the Electoral Commission has suspended the registration exercise in the 50 electoral areas across America. In that publication, it was also stated that it was the District Security Committee of Lua Manya Kobo District, which is that directly. So, which surprised me was that in the publication, it was stated that it was the District Security Committee of Lua Manya Kobo District, which directed suspension. But the fact is, you know that because of the situation of Alpha, even some of our people are being tempted to move outside Nigeria and go and register somewhere else where maybe they will be qualified to register. Because every Ghanaian knows the importance of the biometric registration exercise. But we are in a very critical situation, and to appeal to the Electoral Commission to come and register. At this time, transfer of vote or voting by proxy in future elections are not going to be easy. So if you go and register at a place where you don't reside or where no means where you can vote, elections, it's very difficult to come back and vote at your residential area, since you may be compelled to go and vote at the place out of your wishes, and that will come out of the situation in which we found ourselves now.
You heard the spokesperson for the chiefs of Akuse, George Amano. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: Ghana and Canada sign agreement for the construction of additional 132 megawatt power generating plants in Takrado. East Regional Police Command bans use of unregistered vehicles and motorbikes in Kwil before, during and after Easter festivities. Japan assists NADMO with disaster management equipment. Public warned against using herbal treatments for kidney problems. Senegalese musician Youssou N'Dou appointed Tourism and Culture Minister. And car bomb targeting police chief kills 5 people in central Baghdad.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social.
The National Disaster Management Organization, NADMO, has taken delivery of a number of equipment to be used for managing disasters. The equipment, worth $8.5 million, were as a result of a grant agreement between Japan and Ghana to improve the capacity of NADMO to respond rapidly when disaster occurs. Vice President John Mahama, who inaugurated the equipment, called on traditional leaders to ensure that schools and communities under them embark on tree planting programs to mitigate the adverse effects on natural disasters. Pascalina Dadevo reports.
This is not the first time Ghana is receiving such assistance from Japan. In 2009, when the country was faced with a northern flood disaster, Japan assisted NADMO financially in mitigating the effects of the flood. The equipment, made up of trucks, bulldozers, excavators, water tankers, tipper trucks, graders and low loaders, could not have come at a better time. Last year alone, about 950 communities, 2,000 acres of farmland, 744 schools and many others were destroyed as a result of rainstorms and floods. Vice President John Mahama said it is gratifying that the vehicles have come at a time when climate conditions have become unpredictable due to human pressure on the world's resources. He said even as this calls for more investment in disaster management, collectively everyone has a role to play, both locally and globally.
For instance, if schools are ripped off, children on the average spend like 6 weeks away from school. That is even when the district assembly has the money immediately. Now the cost of re-roofing one school is much, much higher than the cost of planting trees around the school to serve as windbreaks. Asking the Ghana Education Service to ask every school to plant trees around the school, then the chances that the roof will be taken off are much less that when the schools are less exposed and communities that have more vegetation and trees around them, often when there's a thunderstorm, have a less risk of homes being destroyed than communities that don't have. So this is a clarion call that our chiefs and others must take on and ensure that the things that we need to do in order to reduce disaster done.
The National Coordinator of NADMO, Kofi Potufi, said acquiring the vehicles is part of the Better Ghana agenda to equip the sector. The organization, he said, faces the challenge of equipment constraint, and this is hampering its work. Japan's ambassador to Ghana, Naito Nikai, said to derive maximum benefit from the equipment will require strategic placement and continuous maintenance. He said Japan will continue to offer assistance to Ghana. Another set of equipment is expected by June this year as part of the Japanese grant agreement. For Radio Ghana, Pascaline Adadevu, Accra.
Participants in a capacity building program on extractive industries are calling for transparency and accountability in the disbursement and management of mining revenue. They also stressed the need for the involvement of local communities in determining what development projects the revenue should be used for. This, they noted, will go a long way to ensure maximum utilization of resources to speed up development. The program was organized by Journalists for Business Advocacy and supported by Newmont Ghana. Asibi Bangu Ikella has filed this report for Radio Ghana.
The participants are of the view that management of revenue accrued from mining has not been used for the benefits of the communities which they operate. This, they say, is due to the way taxes and royalties are being managed by traditional authorities and district assemblies. The General Secretary of Journalists for Business Advocacy, Suleimana Mustafa, explained that the workshop is to address the challenges in reporting on mining and small-scale industries and also to enlighten them to report professionally.
I will draw authorities' attention to the problems that are inimical to the growth of SMEs. Once those problems are removed, it's going to see some phenomenal growth in the way businesses operate, especially small and medium-scale business. Because once there's growth, there's employment. Once there's growth, social vices will be removed because people will just have a job to do, and then it will reduce the state of armed robbery and other social vices that we've been seeing all along.
The Director of External Affairs of Newmont Ghana, Adiki Ayitivi, said what informed the company's decision to associate itself with the program is to deepen the understanding of journalists in the mining sector.
We had a lot of media guys come to us and typically they want to, okay, why do you compensate this way? Why do you do things this way? And we thought that there's a need to let people have training from the experts themselves on why mining is done in a particular way, why we take land in a particular way, how we even access land, the benefits that come through the fact so that people get better informed so they can make informed decisions.
The Director of External Affairs of Newmont Ghana, Adiki Ayitivi, ending that report by Asibi Bangu Ikela. Reports indicate that environmental degradation is estimated at 10% of the gross domestic product of the country. The International Tropical Timber Organization reports that Ghana, Togo and Nigeria have the biggest rates of deforestation out of 65 nations. The executive director of WACAM, Daniel Usu-Kranting, made this known at a workshop for journalists on mining, environment and peace. He said Togo has a rate of 5.75%, Nigeria 4% and Ghana 2.19%. According to Mr. Usu-Kranting, the report indicates that a rate of deforestation, which is more than 1%, is alarming.
Ms. Usu-Kranting said Ghana is increasing her economic dependence on the extractive sector following the price hikes in mineral commodities. He stated that mining with it associated social, environmental and economic problems have become an important developmental challenge, especially as government has granted mining leases to companies to mine in forest reserves. Ms. Usu-Kranting therefore challenged journalists to influence this year's political campaign agenda on mining and environment.
Correspondent Sandrine Odrampansa filed that report. The Minister of Water Resources, Works and Housing, E.T. Mensah, has inspected the Ajin Kotoku Bulk Breaking Services Project. The project, which started in 2008, when completed, will help ease congestion at commercial centers in Accra. Mr. Mensah said four of such facilities are needed to properly decongest the city. Linda Goji was part of the inspection team and has filed this report.
The 16 million euro project has a sewage facility which can cater for 40,000 people. It also includes a school, a clinic, fire and police stations, as well as water pump station, a community center and a compost plant facility. The project also has a road network comprising three access roads to Agen-Kotoku. The main access road connects Agen-Kotoku to the Accra-Kumasi Highway, while the other two link Agen-Kotoku to some villages. Mr. E.T. Mensah expressed satisfaction with the work done so far, but was not happy about the size of the market.
There was a project that we conceived 85-86 to create bulk-breaking markets, wholesale markets in the major entrances into the city of Accra. That is the only way we say we'll be able to decongest Accra. We need four such markets so that we have identified a place at Medina for those who will be coming from that end, and those who will be coming from Sokakope and other places to have a bulk-breaking market there. We have seen the ancillary facilities. We have nothing, no serious comments about. But what we saw, as the board breaking market leaves a lot to be desired, we have to go back to the drawing board, re-engineer it, and then build to suit our purpose.
The MCE of Accra, Alfred Okovan-Dapoy, also expressed satisfaction and promised to ensure early completion of the project.
Linda Goji reporting. The acting head of the renal dialysis unit of Kolebu, Dr. Vincent Boyma, has cautioned the public against using herbal treatments for kidney problems. He said it is important to identify risk factors and seek early diagnosis and treatment from specialized medical practitioners rather than employ self-medication. Dr. Boyma stated this when a delegation from the Evangelical Presbyterian Church donated a check for 7,500 Ghana cedis to Christiana Foley, a kidney patient at the renal dialysis unit. We bring you the details.
Christiana Foley, a final year student of Ave Senior High School in the Volta region, has been undergoing hemodialysis treatment at the renal dialysis unit of Kolebu after she was diagnosed of the kidney disease more than a year ago. Doctors at the unit described Christiane's condition as being at the end stage, for which she requires 50,000 Ghana cedis for kidney transplant abroad. The EP Church Synod Moderator for the West Volta Presbytery, Reverend Joyce Kodade, who led the delegation, said the church empathizes with Christiana and decided to respond promptly with an initial sum of 7,000 Ghana cedis. She said the church has extended an appeal to some of its congregation to support in raising the required amount needed for the kidney transplant. Reverend Kodade also appealed to individuals, corporate institutions and civil society to respond to Christiane's plight. The acting head of the renal dialysis unit of Kolebu, Dr. Vincent Boyma, thanked the EP Church for the kind gesture. He said diabetes and hypertension have been proven to be the leading causes of kidney infection, for which the ultimate treatment is transplanting. Dr. Boyma advised the public to verify their family history related to such diseases, as well as avoid excessive alcohol intake and smoking, adding that the cost of treating the disease is very expensive.
A news desk report. The National Movement for the Liberation of Azawad, MNLA, has decided to put an end to its military operations as of today. This follows the complete liberation of the territory of Azawad and the strong demand from the international community, especially the UN Security Council, the US, France, and ECOWAS. The group has called on states of the sub-region and the international community to ensure the safety of the people of Azawad against all assaults from the Malian military. Senegalese popular musician Youssou N'Dou has been appointed Tourism and Culture Minister in the cabinet of new President Macky Sall. The singer threw his weight behind Mr. Sall during that country's elections earlier this year after being disqualified from running as a candidate. Youssou N'Dou is one of the 25 new appointees to the cabinet headed by Prime Minister Abdoul Mbaye. A car bomb targeting a local police chief has killed 5 people and wounded 10, while another bomb left one man dead in central Iraq near the town of Douliya, 70 kilometers north of Baghdad. The five dead are believed to be civilians. A police officer said the explosion took place as Duliya Police Chief Colonel Kandil Khalil's convoy was passing by. It is the second attack against Colonel Khalil's convoy this year after a previous car bombing in January that he also survived. Trending news, the main points again. An agreement for the construction of a 132-megawatt electricity generating plant under Phase 3 of the Takrade Power Project has been signed between government and the Canadian Commercial Corporation. The National Disaster Management Organization, NADMO, has taken delivery of disaster management equipment worth $8.5 million. The gesture is under a grant agreement between Ghana and Japan to help NADMO respond effectively to disaster situations. And Senegalese popular musician Youssou N'Dou has been appointed Tourism and Culture Minister in the cabinet of new President Macky Sall. The news was presented by Samuel Essa in Accra.